So yesterday I read a quote that said, your body image is stored in your brain cells, not your fat cells. It really resonated with me and it inspired today's episode, or the topic of today's episode, which is body image. So far, the most popular podcast episode on this podcast is the one where I talked about my fitness journey. We discussed weight loss, binge eating, body image, and my obsession with wanting to be thinner and wanting to take up less space in this world. And obviously that is where even the name of this podcast came from. And after that episode, I got an overwhelming amount of DMs and comments and messages from people saying how much it resonated with them, saying how we've all had this collective experience, yet we feel so alone when we're going through it. And that is what is inspiring me today to talk about this topic and to really dissect body image. And I think that this quote is just this umbrella and we can really dive more into it, but your body image is stored in your brain cells, not your fat cells. And unfortunately, the typical solution to body image issues that when most girls run into body image issues, they think that they can solve it by changing their body. They think that the issue is in their body, yet the problem is really the relationship that you have with yourself. That's a hard pill to swallow because it seems so much easier to be like, you know what, I'm just going to lose weight and I'm going to feel better. And I'm here to tell you that I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I've been 30 pounds heavier and I've been 30 pounds lighter, and my thoughts and feelings towards myself never changed. Actually, the thinner that I became, the more obsessed I became with overanalyzing myself, the more obsessed I became with picking apart all these little pieces about me that I could continue to change, that I could still make better. And it makes you feel so empty because you start to realize that this goal is just not tangible and you're not going to get there by changing your body. I think that my relationship with myself really took a turn for the worst when I lost all that weight and I still felt unhappy. I still picked myself apart every day and every night, and I turned to food as comfort. And then I would get upset with myself about it. And that's the thing. Weight loss, binge eating, body image, those are all so tied together that in this episode, I'm going to talk about it all. But for the most part, I just want to really dissect why it doesn't make it better to lose weight or to gain weight or to change your body in any way, shape, or form, and how much of it is really just in your own head. So when I started my fitness journey, and if you guys listened to that episode, then you obviously have a better idea. But if not, just a really quick overview. I started because I hated, I don't like the word hate, and my boyfriend has really put into perspective like how much I use it. I use the word hate all the time, but that is such a strong word. But I am confident in using it right now because I really hated how I looked back in high school. And now that I look back on it, I really am asking myself, and not now that I've been through therapy and I've really worked through certain things, I wish that I had just asked myself the question, why? Why do you hate the way that you look? Is it because you think that the way that you look doesn't please other people? Is it because you think that the way that you look is preventing you from having guys find you attractive or having the cool friends, the cool popular friends in high school? Because the answer to all of those would have been yes. The answer would have been that I wanted other people to accept me. I felt like my body was standing in the way of me having this great life that I had imagined I would have if I had just been thinner. Therefore, I was always down on myself. Like, you are so weak. That's what I would tell myself all the time. You are so weak. You know that if you would just be skinnier, you'd be friends with the popular kids. You wouldn't have to eat lunch in the bathroom when you were in middle school. People wouldn't have picked on you. Your life would have been easier if you'd just been thinner. Why can't you just stop eating? That would be the thoughts that I would have on a daily basis. And that made me self-isolate. I was always overanalyzing and trying to see myself through other people's eyes and wondering what they think. When in reality, no one's really thinking that. And yes, kids in high school are brutal. Kids in middle school were brutal. I was really bullied for the way that I looked, for my weight, for being an immigrant and not speaking English. So of course I felt this way. I forgive myself for that because I thought that if I had just been thinner in middle school, then I would have had an easier time making friends. But in reality, that's not true. I don't think. I mean, maybe I would have been picked on a little bit less, but I still didn't speak English. I was still the new kid, and I just probably would have had something else that they would have found to make me feel insecure about, and that I would have felt insecure about, because that was the world that we were living in. I think that it's amazing that more people are really taking a stand and are refusing to change themselves in order to fit in. I think it's so great that people are trying to teach younger generations that everyone is different and that what you look like, it really doesn't have all that much value. Who you are as a person is really what matters. And it sounds so like, yeah, of course, but it's so easy to say a but after that because I was always under the impression that life was easier for people who were beautiful. And that's really unfortunate. I can't say that that's not true. And I think that's really where the issue is, that people are treated differently based on their looks. And that is systemic change. That is where we as a society have to really stand up against this because it's really fucked up. But it starts within yourself. It starts with you refusing to base your worth on what you look like. And also, and it's really, you know, that's hard. That is hard to do. So I fully, fully understand that when you are living in today's society, there's always going to be a but after that. But guys probably do find me more attractive if I'm thinner. It's easy to say that. Where you have to really go more deeper into it is, how does that make you feel? If some guy is going to treat you better based on what you look like, if some girl is going to treat you better based on what you look like and all of a sudden wants to be your friend, how is that really going to make you feel? Do you want those people in your life, in your circle? Do you want your self-worth to always be based on your looks? Because looks are fleeting. We age. We change. We go through different life experiences that alter what you look like. And frankly, that is something that used to terrify me, especially after I lost all that weight. I was like, holy crap, like how long can I maintain this? How long can I go on living my life through the eyes of others? Because at one point, I'm not going to be young. I'm not going to feel my best. And do I have people in my life that love me and care for me based on who I am as a person, as a human being, the intrinsic value that I have just by being a person on this earth? Once I accepted that I can't really control this, that I can't live my life this way, that it really wasn't making me happy, everything in my life improved. My relationship with food improved because I didn't feel like I had to have full control over it. I felt like I could just give myself the freedom because that's what I deserved. That's what everyone deserves. I never thought that I could get there. I never thought that I could have a good relationship with food or a good relationship with my body, regardless of what I look like. But it has improved tremendously. And it all just ties into self-acceptance and self-love. You know, we as people, we want to be accepted, right? Like even if you go back in time when we lived as tribes, if you couldn't fit in, you could not survive. Therefore, all we want to do as people is fit in. And we think that if we have a body that is attractive and a face that is attractive, that it's going to make it easier for us to fit in. Because back in the day, if you didn't fit in, it meant death when we lived as cavemen. But we don't live that way anymore. Now fitting in does not mean death. And if you are looking for acceptance, you can offer yourself that acceptance. And in reality, that's really all that you need. Because once you offer that to yourself, you are not going to look for it in anyone else. It's interesting that a lot of women who struggle with body image issues feel like they don't really know themselves. They feel like they are people pleasers. They tend to struggle with codependency issues. And that is because we are taught that we are not enough, that we can't offer ourselves the safety, and that that safety is out there in the world. And as long as we are perfect, we will get that safety from other people. But that's wrong. Powerful women are scary. Women that stand on their own two feet, provide for themselves, are confident, and aren't looking for approval of men are scary to the world. Another thing that's really common is anxiety and body checking and eating disorders. All of those things are kind of all tied together. And where it all stems from is self-acceptance, which is why when my therapist and I first started our therapy sessions and I was like, teach me how to be confident. How do I look confident to other people? She was like, no, let me teach you how to accept yourself fully for who you are. Let me teach you how to find value in yourself as a human being versus value in what you can do for other people and what you look like and all these external things. Because what you're looking for is very internal. Even when I came to her, I was still looking for this external thing, right? I was still looking for confidence. And confidence is what other people see from those who are self-assured. I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that makes sense. How do I get there? Because I have a lot of issues to work through. I think another topic that I'd like to talk about is, this is totally me going off tangent, but let me know if this is something that you guys would want to listen to. I would love to talk about the different attachment styles and codependency, because codependency is something that I used to be, like, that word itself would make me uncomfortable. And I would try so hard to be like, no, I'm not codependent. I don't care. And when my therapist really described the definition of codependence and how you're basically constantly worried about other people's feelings and other people's feelings help you decide how you feel about yourself. So for example, and again, this is, I'm totally going off tangent, but if you'd like an episode on this, let me know. But for example, if you are living with your mom and she comes back from work and she is stressed out, yet you've been in an amazing mood all day, all of a sudden you are stressed out with her and you go into problem fixing mode. You're like, what can I do, or what have I done to make you feel this way? You never feel like outside circumstances could have just given this person a bad day. You think, no, it's me. And codependency is usually within romantic relationships. I just think this mom example is really good because I was in big denial that I used to be a codependent person. And that's because I would only see it in relationships. And I was embarrassed by it. I was like, no, I will never admit that I could be codependent. But when my therapist put it in a way that involved a family member, I was like, oh shit, that's totally me. If my mom came home from work and she was upset, I thought, one, what can I do to fix it? So problem fixing right away. Two, I would look within myself. What have I done today that could have possibly made her upset? And three, I would start to worry, could this be a deal breaker? Could my mom not love me? Which is, it's absurd to think that way, but that is how it works. And it works like that with a partner as well. Like if your partner comes back and they're in a weird mood, you start to think, oh my God, what did I do? Is this bad enough? If whatever I've done, and I don't even know what it was, but is whatever I've done bad enough for them to leave me? That is a like extremely, extremely hard way to live, because you are always on edge. You are always trying to take in information from others and are overthinking, how do they feel about me? Are we still on good terms? Am I still safe? When you work through codependency trauma, you can really, you start to see, you know, your past experiences as like, wow, that had nothing to do with me. So you become way less sensitive. I used to be such a sensitive person, and I still am, and I don't think there's anything wrong with being sensitive. Like, I'm a very empathetic person. I will cry at everything and anything. And that's, I used to, again, see it as this really big negative thing, but I think it's actually incredible. And I think it's really helped me like connect and make really meaningful friendships and relationships. And I feel like I can love really hard because of how emotional I am. But I used to see it as this negative thing because I thought that how emotional I was made me really sensitive. You can still be very emotional and not be as sensitive. Not take things so personally. Like, someone's bad mood has nothing to do with you. And that's really changed a lot of my relationships, but most importantly, relationship within myself, because I didn't have those kind of anxious spikes every time that my boyfriend or my mom or my friend seemed like they were in a bad mood. Whereas that is something that used to happen to me all the time. Totally off tangent. But again, I think that all of these things are so tied together. And even self-assurance and even struggling with body image and all those things, like, it all also goes even deeper and goes into your childhood. Grew up in a culture, growing up in Ukraine, it's a culture that does value appearance. And I remember being little and having like my distant aunts and uncles make small comments about my arms. And it's crazy because up until I started therapy last year, my arms were something that I was so insecure about. And I would always walk past a mirror and kind of just pinch them and see if they were bigger today, or if I could, I would try to hide them in pictures. And it's so crazy. Like, that stemmed from when I was probably 5 years old. And my great great aunt would come, sorry, I don't know if great great is the right, my great aunt would come and pinch my arms and say how chubby I was. And how hopefully, the thing is, they wouldn't just pinch my arms, they would imply that hopefully my arms will get slimmer. They would say things, oh, don't worry, you'll grow out of it. And I was like, wait, something I have to worry about? Oh, shit. And then I never really grew out of it. I just, like, my arms just always been a little bit bigger, and that is okay. But at that, you know, I grew up my entire life thinking, like, when am I going to grow out of it? This is something I have to worry about. And then if you feel insecure about something and, you know, you put yourself out online or a friend makes a comment about it, even if it's a joke, it hits so deep. It hurts so bad because it is so deep within you. Like, this experience that you had and this pain that you feel is so deep within you that even if it's like the most lighthearted joke, it hurts like a knife being stabbed in you. So again, the first thing that you have to just really, really work within yourself in terms of body image issues, and the first step to take, is to just start accepting who you are, and also just asking yourself, do I think that, for example, losing weight is going to make me feel better about myself? And if I do, why? Is it because I want other people to be more accepting of me? Because a lot of the times I think that will be your answer. You have to do the very deep trauma work and just self-esteem work and self-worth, and also just coming to terms that we do live in a society that teaches young women that their worth lies in their appearance. And we are the ones who have to take a stand against that. And by presenting yourself to the world completely as you are, with whatever quote-unquote flaws you have, and normalizing it. I am so proud to be a woman in today's world. I think that the generations following are really going to have different experiences growing up, and hopefully that will result in having more women in power. That's really all that we can hope for. But I loved having this conversation. We're going to keep this episode short and sweet. So I hope that you guys enjoyed it. I hope you're having an amazing week. As always, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, for having these tough conversations with me. Appreciate you guys.